The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Welcome to it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 week. We need some sort of dinner bell or something. 1 week and it's spring football. See, it really wasn't that long that you were away from Nebraska football. Plenty to get into. Spring 2017 on this Saturday show. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning. Great to have you in on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Can join us if you're up and defrosting, 466-3776, 466-3776. If you're outside of Lincoln, 1-800-825-5865. Now, a technical note, Kranak, your people have informed you, and you're passing it along to me, that the app slash stream is on vacation right now?
No, I have an update.
Oh.
I have an update.
Okay.
It's back on.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All it took was TJ showing up with, I'm going to go with cherry muffin today. No? Chocolate chip?
Oh, he's maybe a muffin guy in the morning, huh?
And what's cool about TJ is, and we're going to keep this tradition going, unlike any other, is he brings, you know, those four packs you either get at Hy-Vee or Super Saver every Saturday morning. I don't know if he's doing the slippers thing today, but he walks in with, you know, one of those four packs of muffins, but there's only usually one left. There's not enough to share with the room. I'm just making a mental note of that. What kind of muffin do we have today?
It is poppy seed.
Ah, you saw that Seinfeld episode, didn't you?
Now, if you have to take a drug test, you could end up testing positive for heroin. So don't eat too much of that.
That is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. They're going to look at TJ, tell him to pull his sleeves up and go, ah!
Yeah.
Poppy seed guy.
Lay off the smack, TJ. That's what they're going to. Now, be careful with those muffins, too. You're a younger guy now, but those muffins could lead to a muffin top.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to be rocking in the midsection.
It isn't. And muffin top's kind of an interesting term. We had a chance this week to see the Nick Saban recruiting Bible. Okay. And that was a term used for an incoming recruit at Alabama.
I did not realize that. Okay.
Yes. And Saban will kind of do before and after pictures, more so before pictures of guys coming into the program, just giant humans, 17 or 18 years of age. And when they get to a Bama camp or its first day of life in Tuscaloosa, guys are in, you know, it's kind of NFL combine type where you got shorts on, but that's about it. And they're taking front and back pictures of guys to check their hips, their legs, what's their gut look like, how powerful's the upper body trunk when they get into the program.
Yeah.
And Saban's pretty detailed with, you know, great hips, no backside. He says no ass on this tight end. And see the muffin top, but the guy's legs and calves are well-defined and powerful. There is room to use X player.
Or man boobs.
Yeah, there was a man boobs comment, too. And there's some poor guy that I think's in the NFL now that came in, and that might have been his nickname.
So, TJ, if these muffins lead to moobs and a muffin top, don't worry, you can still play for Bama.
All right, sounds good. But I do have metabolism of the gods, so that's kind of what's been helping me out.
Yes, you do. It's called being 26 and a former point guard. I hate you. Okay, let's dive into some spring football, Kranak. Let's start offensively.
Speaking of muffin tops.
Yes.
Should we start with offensive line?
Well, but when I look at this year's offensive line group, they're not Bill Frelick or Dean Steinkuhler. Those guys were just rock built. I don't see. I mean, they're bigger guys, but I don't think they're sloppy. I mean,
well,
not all are not sloppy, but I think for the most part, the guys I saw last year were all right. And the returners, I mean,
They could use a little strength and conditioning work, but whatever. It's not like just looking at their physique is the only way to tell whether or not they're fit or strong enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, but there's a few that I would like to see kind of shed some of the muffin top.
Just little more defined is what you're thinking.
Yeah, a little, I don't know. It would stand to reason that would help.
Well, but you're in better shape. You're a little more defined. That means you're spending more time in the weight room and less time at the dessert portion of the training table.
It would seem. So let's go rapid fire. You want to go rapid fire on all the positions offensively?
Let's do that in 2 seconds. Pat Casey, head coach at Oregon State, joined us this week on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska baseball trying to get a win in the desert. Matchup number 2 against Oregon State today. Our rewind segment in 15 minutes with Oregon State head coach and 2-time national champion Pat Casey. We'll go a little Husker baseball in about 15 minutes. Get past Pat Casey's take on his Oregon State team, his thoughts on the Big Ten and Nebraska. Hour 2, Brandon Vogel with us in less than an hour. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse. Other topics we'll tackle. Nebraska's recruiting department. Some thoughts on the Coach Riley interview with the Portland Tribune. And we'll do rapid fire for sure here, offense and defense, this first hour on Nebraska spring football. We'll start with the offensive line, Kranak, and when it comes to depth and number of bodies that Coach Kavanaugh has to work with, two names that you're most anxious to see. I know that's a little expansive on the rapid fire, but two guys that are key to this line here in the spring.
I'm going to go David Neville.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go David Neville, and I'm going to go, wow, just two, huh? Center.
Reardon.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he definitely in?
He's buying for it. It's him or Decker.
Yeah, so it's between those two. I'll go with Decker. Okay. I'll let the young buck. I would like to see. Okay, let's start with right tackle. Let's start with Neville.
Okay,
out of the guys returning, we got some known quantities there. DJ Foster, we got a little small sample size with him. I think most people are pretty confident in what he can get done.
I like what he does.
Fair to say?
Yes.
Confident. Like left guard, locked down, we're good. Nick Gates, I think you could say the same at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Feel pretty good about that. Tanner Farmer, right guard.
When healthy, the best run blocker they get.
Yeah. So, I mean, all three of those guys you feel good about. And keep in mind, they were all sophomores. And a lot of times, offensive line, especially offensive linemen, they really perform best when they're upperclassmen. Probably more so than any other position, right? Like, that's, you just really need as much physical kind of development as possible.
O-line's all about the reps.
Yeah, you need reps. You need to know what you're doing. Those guys were all sophomores last year. So you would expect all of them to take a jump as juniors, and then juniors is usually when offensive linemen hit their strides. So you feel good about those three. But I've never felt great about Neville. Never felt. I don't know what's happening at center. So I look, and Neville's got the tools. Obviously, he's huge. The guy's a mammoth. He cracked us. He couldn't stay healthy last year. He doesn't seem to have kind of that that killer instinct that you like to have, that physicality. You know, you see flashes of it, but not all the time. So I just want to see if that's a guy where he goes for broke his senior year. And just locks down that position, keeps Cole Conrad off the field. If he can't, then, hey, Cole Conrad, I think, will be ready and will take that spot. So I want to see how Neville performs in his last year. And then I definitely want to see Michael Decker. You know, he's got a nice prototypical size, if not even a little bigger. They got him at 6'4", 285. He's probably a little heavier than that. You put him in at center, you have a pretty imposing offensive line size-wise. Pretty imposing.
You do. Now, I'm gonna go a little further here with Decker and Neville. And a year ago, you had Decker getting at different points co-first team reps at center. Mm-hmm. He was listed high on the depth chart. He was with that starting offensive line group and some of the practices for spring. And then it's a mystery as to what happened. Was he injured? Was there some trust issues? Was the attitude what it needed to be? And I'm throwing out all questions here in this multiple choice. I don't know. I have a thought. And the core group of this offensive line needs to be identified starting in a week. They need to have a core group of five, and then you find three other dudes, so give me eight. And they all need to follow Gates and Foster's lead when it comes to attitude. Because the thing that you need most with this offensive line, aside from the health, okay, and the ability to gel and work together, and that rep word we talk about in unison to really create something special, is a mindset. And the mindset is needing to be different than it was as 2016 finished. And mm-hmm. what happened to Nebraska's offensive line, they got punched in the mouth. They got dictated to. They were unable to be physical in some of the big games in a consistent basis. They ran for minimal yards. There's a lot of things that go into that, but when push comes to shove, you need to move people off the ball and average more than two a carry against Iowa and against Tennessee. I am preaching to the choir in Nebraska with this assessment, but it is a reality where the statement, the theme for this offensive line needs to be toughness.
Yeah, and look, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, considering the injury situation and considering the youth of the core of that offensive line last year. I think that's enough of a combination to just warrant really not that productive of a year. Every single guy was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, and
absolutely.
Every single guy had to play hurt. Not only that, but these weren't vets. These weren't veteran guys and played a lot already. You know, so you just combine that and it's bad news. It's bad news on offense. Nebraska is positioned now, I think, positioned, doesn't mean it'll happen, to have their best offensive line that they've had in probably a decade.
I agree.
Right?
Like, I agree.
That's not hyperbole. And it's not like the offensive lines over the past decade have been, you know,
vintage.
Amazing. But you've had some good numbers. I mean, let's, you know, give Nebraska a little credit. It's, you know, they've put up some good offensive numbers over the past decade in different seasons. But from the offensive line perspective, I think you can with a straight face say you have two to four NFL prospects, right?
Agreed.
NFL, two to four guys with potential to play in the NFL that you could say with a straight face. I think Foster's that guy. I think Farmer's got a shot. I think Gates has a shot. And then who knows about some of the younger pups that will come in.
And let's just be straight about measurables and footwork and size that scouts drool over. And that's Neville, man.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you're right.
The guy that you're – one of your two questions is probably physically your best poster child for NFL.
He's got to show more, though.
No,
he's got to show more than he has.
I'm just talking off the bus. Absolutely.
No, you're right.
Between the lines, you're right.
Where's this segment? Man, this segment flew. We still got other positions to get to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we shift out to tight end?
We can. You tell me who's catching the football. Great. Let's talk tight end. Okay. Everyone's trying out for the combine now. There's no Seathen. There's no Cotton. There's no Foster.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Snyder and Stoll.
It's the most, so offensively, it is the most unknown position on the team by far.
Totally agree.
Tyler Hoppus.
Yeah, I like what he's done in
high
school.
Saw a little bit of him, right? We saw a little bit of him. We don't know anything about Matt Snyder. Don't know anything about Jack Stoll. or David Engelhaupt. I haven't seen any of those guys. Those are all freshmen, sophomores. They just haven't played. You wonder if, because of that, if Nebraska will de-emphasize the tight end. Considering the last, I'm just saying, you can't. I don't know. Either that or those guys have to develop like crazy. The guy that intrigues me the most, I think, is Engelhaupt. And remember, he was the late flyer in the 2016 class out of Norfolk Catholic.
Yep, they love his size and mobility and were really happy to get him late in the game.
6'3", 230 is what he's listed at, but he, out of that crew, probably the best athlete. Best just pure athlete. Could be, Jack Stoll might give him a run for that money there, but he's a legitimate. I mean, this is a guy that they used to hand the ball off to, kind of like a poor man's Ethan Carter. I think it's probably the best way to describe him. I mean, he's got hops, he's got speed, he's got strength, he's got length. So he's got those. He's just one of those big. He's a horse, right? Like, you just kind of don't want to deal with a guy like that. But does he know what the hell he's doing? Who knows? But he interests me from an athletic standpoint. And then you have Matt Snyder, who was a big get out of the Bay Area. Jack Stoll out of Colorado. It's an unknown spot. It really is. And because of that, can you get production? I don't think Mike Riley and Langsdorf are so enamored with the tight end that they'll play guys that are subpar and can't do the job.
No, think about what you had with your tight end. Think about what Seathan Carter's doing when it comes to blowing up and impressing NFL scouts. All right, talking with guys down in the SEC country this week. I mean, they're hearing major buzz about Seathan Carter being one of the steals of the draft.
Well, you know what, and you saw, I read somewhere, it might have been Land of 10, where
yes.
Mike Martz, former Rams offensive coordinator, he used the word that we used a few weeks ago that is sort of key for Nebraska about Seathan, and he just said he brings an aggression that you just don't see. Like, very few guys have that. And it's like, yep, that's a great way of putting it, because that dude would get all over you.
He was phenomenal on the edge. And that's,
yeah, I mean,
with this offense, Kranak, and you want to go too tight or you want some end line blocking. I mean, what you had with Seathan just mauling dudes on the edge, just setting the edge, getting that cutback lane. Once you seal the, I mean, it was phenomenal when he was healthy and going. Now, to wrap the tight end discussion, let's talk H-back and McNitt.
Which you have to, right? You have to fold that in because that's sort of that.
You do,
position.
because if you don't know what you got in Engelhaupt or Snyder or Stoll, you do kind of know. You've seen a little bit of McNitt, and he's mobile. He's a bone crusher. And he's made a handful of catches, kind of on that waggle play, the old Mike McNeil play, but not from end line, but from H-back spot. So there is opportunity with McNitt at your H-back spot in the short to medium range passing game is something to think about. We have not gotten a quarterback, running back, or wideouts. We can get defense in hour two. But overall, with the offensive line, two names I'm throwing out there to kind of full circle this thing. I'm going to go with first and foremost Nick Gates. That's an obvious choice. He's your most decorated. But I'm anxious to see him really take to heart what happened against Tennessee, grow from that, embrace the leadership, do the accountability thing, because I think Gates is super talented.
He got worked that day, though.
And that'll happen when you're a sophomore going up against a top 15 pick.
Sure. You're right. I hope that did motivate him because he got worked.
Well, and he's a motivated.
He knows it. He knows it.
And he's a motivated guy. But I need to see this Gates attitude kind of permeate the rest of the offensive line. You went Decker. I'm going to go with Reardon. And it goes back to some things Kavanaugh said in the latest Hail Varsity magazine. Reardon's ability in the screen game. When you want to talk about toughness and attitude, that's one item in this offense where you can get offensive line obviously pulling on run plays. But now the the true beauty of the Riley screen game with some athletic offensive linemen and some mean dudes, right? Some mean dudes like Reardon, like Bo Wilson. They can get out and go convoy on some smaller defenders. I want to see Reardon. I like his size. I like his temperament. And the window is wide open for him, as young as he is, to take the job, because there was opportunity through injury for Decker to step up last year, and for whatever reason, it didn't happen.
He was a freshman, and he's getting pushed now.
Yep.
He'll get pushed, and the way you just described Reardon is what described Decker when he was in North. I mean, that dude would get out and kill some people.
Sure,
He was all right.
What you do is 22 offensive linemen on the roster. You need five starters. You need eight in rotation in case any of your guards go down and need a second or third tackle. Nebraska is sitting great with options. They need to be developed, and they need to gel. We're off and running here on a Saturday. More thoughts on spring 2017, more rapid fire, position by position. We'll detour for a second and get some Husker baseball talk in. Head coach of Oregon State, Pat Casey, spent some time with us. I want to remind you, if you're out with friends or family and you're having a few drinks and someone offers you a ride home, but you say no thanks because you think you're okay to drive, a reminder, mixing alcohol and driving, never a good thing. You can take a life. You can lose yours. You can be arrested. You can go to jail. You can lose your license, can pay fines and legal fees. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Our conversation, Oregon State head baseball coach Pat Casey. More spring football 2017 when we return. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Nebraska and Oregon State down in Surprise. Welcoming head coach of Oregon State, friend of the show, Pat Casey, back with us. Coach, great to speak with you again. How are things?
They're great, man. Really good. We're down here in Surprise. Spent the last 4 or 5 days down here opening up the season, and so getting excited to get going again this weekend.
Well, you're 4-0, you're top 10, you're a favorite, and tell me a little bit about kind of some of the this team's mindset, your mindset heading into this season. You had a good year a year ago, but you missed postseason for the first time since 08, and that was a shock to many. Has it been used as fuel to look towards 17?
Well, I think a little bit. You know, I'm not sure that's what our charge is. We got some guys that weren't here last year, but I know the guys that were here obviously felt like we could have been in there, and you know, we wanted to make sure that we did everything we could to prepare for the upcoming season. Baseball early is always kind of ironic, complaint, and surprise, because it's always a surprise. You know, some new guy does something that maybe presses you a little bit more than you thought, and then another guy might do something, take a little longer to get going. So, great opportunity to play a lot of players, great opportunity to throw a lot of arms, and obviously great opportunity to play some people that we feel are going to be really good. Nebraska's one of those teams for sure.
Well, you look at this Nebraska squad, and they had some, ran into some weather. They finished 1-1. What are your early impressions, and what's kind of the MO on a Coach Erstad team?
Well, you know, you don't get an opportunity this early to get a whole lot back. Obviously, two games or three games isn't going to tell anything. I heard great things about them. I know that somebody wrote them as one of the sleeper teams for Omaha. I think it was Aaron Fitt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't know a lot about them. Obviously, they're down there playing a team that Coach Purcell and Percival and Erstad are good acquaintances, so, you know, we're not going to get anything out of them. So don't know a lot about them, and, you know, this time of year, maybe that's a good thing, because you're just going to go out and play your personnel. And like I said, we probably played four different lineups in all four games. Certainly got a chance to throw quite a few arms, and we'll do the same thing this weekend. We got Ohio State twice and Nebraska twice, so got a lot of baseball to play, and we're just looking to try to play the game the way we think we can play it, and then worry about all the other stuff some other time.
Head coach at Oregon State, Pat Casey, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Nebraska, Oregon State, down in Surprise. Coach, let's start with your pitching staff, and for Nebraska fans that are going to be down in the desert, spring break time of type of season, obviously, so maybe you'll see some red down there and some orange, I would assume, but also folks will be checking things out, you know, with Nebraska. What are they going to be needing to know about your pitching staff, Oregon State's? What are some of your strengths here in this 17 season that you're looking forward to?
Well, you know, hopefully our strengths are that we got some guys to get other people out, you know. I mean, I know I'm going to see a sea of red. There's no doubt about it. We played them down here in over in Tempe a couple of years ago, and that was fun. And unbelievable representation by Oregon State and Nebraska, two of the best. And so that's why there'll be a lot of people there. But, you know, we threw the ball well this weekend. You know, the one thing we didn't really do well in our spring scrimmages was I didn't think we pitched as well as we thought we'd pitch. And we swung the bat better. But when we came down here last weekend, we actually pitched very well. We didn't swing the bats as well as we thought we would. You know, we got some distance out of our guy on opening day, Heimlich. I think he went six innings. I think he had 82 or 83 pitches we were going to let him throw. So, you know, those two guys, Bryce Pimmel and Heimlich, are two guys that both through last year for us. We brought some freshmen out of the bullpen. We'll do the same again this week. But, you know, I just thought we threw the ball, we commanded the strike zone fairly well. I just thought we you know, usually you look at those things, you know, that's what you try to do. You try to defend a little bit early and make sure you throw the ball across the plate. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that. Don't think we have, you know, a knockout guy that you'd see on some teams, that lightning out Friday night guy. But I think we got a solid staff. I think we obviously got to be able to defend in order to win games. And certainly, you know, the ballpark is a ballpark that I think that, you know, the ball gets through the infield pretty good if it's warmed up. It was wet this weekend, so probably play a little quicker this week.
Offensively, you got a lot of options, guys returning. You have Harrison back. He led the team in doubles and homers and RBI, all Pac-12 guy. And then Adley Rutschman's your switch-hitting catcher. Touch on both those guys and what they bring to the party.
Well, I think Adley's a guy that really is going to be a good player. You know, he needs time. I mean, the game's going to be the teacher for him a little bit. He's a freshman, like you said. A kid that we really like, has an opportunity to get on the mound as well. Not sure that we're going to do that. I think he caught three of the four games. A guy that I think eventually down the road will really have some potential. KJ Harrison's a guy that's been with the national team for 2 years, so he's got a lot of exposure. Been a big offensive guy for us over the first two seasons here. Kid out of Hawaii, and you know, KJ's got some real upside. He catches well, he's played first. He's hit in the middle of order since he's a freshman. So, you know, we like the fact he's got some experience and has been down the road a little bit. And we've been using him and Adley in the middle of our order. Flipped that around a little bit in a couple different games. But KJ Harrison's a guy that I think will have some opportunities down the road. And, of course, Adley being young is a guy that, you know, the future's bright. We'll see. It's always a bumpy road getting these guys going, especially when you see really quality clubs come down the pike at you, and you got good arms. And Adley'll have some good days, and have some days where he'll have to do get some improvement done in order to make sure that he knows how to handle all pitches.
Pat Casey, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Oregon State, Nebraska in Surprise. Coach, what are your thoughts? Give us kind of an overview of the Pac-12. I know you're listed as a favorite, but very deep, very impressive league as you'd expect. What are your thoughts? I know we're not into conference play yet, but just on the periphery here as you head into another season.
Well, you know, I think the one thing that's a hallmark for the conference every year is just how quality the pitching is. You know, I think that the pitching in this league on Friday and Saturday in particular are outstanding. Big arms early. Always got guys that have closers. I think that there's a lot of depth in this conference. I think you could take the teams 1 through 6, 7, or 8, kind of juggle them around, and anybody could come out of there. I always like the fact that Stanford and UCLA are always going to pitch very, very well. Of course, Arizona played for the national championship, as you well know, last year. So a lot of that stuff coming back is going to help them. Arizona State's improved their ball club a bunch. So I could probably mention all the teams and tell you that they've got better. Obviously, the pitching depth, I think, in the conference will stand out. And I also think that, you know, you'll see there'll be a lot more offense in this conference this year, I think, than last year. I think last year maybe our conference was a little short offensively. And so overall, I just think you're going to see a lot of depth.
Big Ten-wise, you've won two from Indiana. You'll have Ohio State this weekend. You'll see Nebraska shortly. Big Ten is projected to do good things. Have you seen an uptick in Big Ten baseball?
Well, certainly I have over the last couple of years. You know, you see teams like Indiana. You see teams like Michigan State getting better. You see, obviously, Nebraska added to that conference is always has made that conference much, much stronger. Iowa had a great year. Illinois had a great year a couple of years ago. So it's the same thing. I think baseball is really getting better across the board in college baseball altogether. But I think that I think the Big Ten has made an effort to upgrade some ballparks. You know, I know that that's a big issue there. I think that's really helped recruiting in that conference. I think that they have went out and played better schedules, and so, you know, I got a ton of respect for what they've done in that conference, and I think it's going to be one of the stronger conferences this year. A matter of fact, I think that, you know, if you look at the jump they've made, I think that you'll see that they're jumping up there with a team like, let's say, the Big 12. I think the Big Ten may have made some great strides in that with that conference. If you look at how close they are in proximity. And you look at some of the teams in those conferences, I see the Big Ten making a big jump. Obviously, Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio State, those are teams that have been doing well. I think that you're going to see an uptick in Michigan, too. I know they've been out on the recruiting trail pretty good. I know the assistant at Oregon got the job at Purdue. You can look for some improvement there. So, I think it's a good conference. We're excited that we get a chance to play those people. I always think interconference play is great. I wish it would be there'd be a mandate across the board for conferences to play interconference games so that everybody gets a chance to play. Somebody from the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and you find out, you know, that you get a lot better representation, I think, in the tournament. And it'd be nice to see. We had a SEC team coming down here, and they had a coaching change, so they bowed out of that one, but. You know, good field coming in. We'll get a chance to see Ohio. We'll get a chance, like you said, to see three real good Big Ten teams.
Back, Casey, head coach Oregon State with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, you had a chance to talk with or catch up at all with your old pal Mike Riley?
I have not. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to do that. So I've been watching a few of your basketball games on TV for some reason. They come on at the right time out here. So I've seen some pretty exciting basketball games, that's for sure. Those guys need to get away from some of them tight games. I kind of laugh about how many tight games they've been in there.
No, basketball's been super tight. Football's spring's around the corner for spring football, and Coach Riley's getting geared up for it. So, we want to see you in Omaha again, Coach. That's where we first kind of caught up. And best to you in Oregon State this season. We'll do this again.
Yeah, we could. That's my first trip there. Nebraska was there. So let's try to do that again this year. We'll see you there.
Well, that'll be great. We'll see you in Oregon State in Omaha. That'd be great. Coach, you take care. Appreciate the time.
Anytime. Good talking to you.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. We're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Well, you know, it's game time when Matthew McConaughey throws the absolute martini gauntlet down. Usually that's later in the show, but TJ's making a step up our game. Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio. Big thanks to Pat Casey in the warm, sunny, beautiful climate of Surprise, Arizona. Someday it'll get back to warm, sunny, and beautiful. And when it does, find your way to Wilderness Ridge Golf. And maybe you did this week because it was awesome out. So what I can tell you about Wilderness Ridge, phenomenal restaurant, great deck, but 27 holes of gorgeous golf. Membership benefits, membership pricing. For you to investigate, do so, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Go see your friends Chris Thompson, PGA professional, director of golf, and our dear friend, director of instruction, Mike Shuhart. Shuey is down in Arizona with Nebraska Golf right now, but make plans this spring to find your way to wildernessridgegolf.com and swing the sticks. Spring football a week away. Kranak, let's get back into our rapid fire mood. Pretend that folks can see your massive iPhone. All right. And what emoji are you using? Smiley face, halo, sunshine, looking, you know, smiley face with the glasses on, or, you know, angry frown. What emoji are you picking for the Nebraska running back room going into spring?
For the running back room, I would say a half smile.
Okay, kind of a smirk.
Yeah, not a full on, like, you know, showing all the teeth smile. Yeah. But a smile.
Right. No thumbs good. Up. It's not like Amir's still there.
I feel good about you. Right. Yeah. I feel good about running back. I don't feel great about it. I feel good.
What are your reservations?
The one that's a house call. Who's the house call?
Okay.
Who is that? I've liked Azigbo ever since he was a freshman. Wish he would play more. He's productive when he plays, but he's not a home run guy. You don't always need that. I understand that. You don't always need a guy that's taking off for 65
yards. But it's nice to have.
But it's nice, right?
it's like we're putting the wish list together.
Look, Ozigbo is a guy that can punish a defense that probably isn't up for the task. You know, if you walk in with a reputation for a bit of a glass chin, he will knock you out. So I'm good with that. I like that you have that running back in the stable. Then you move to someone like Trey Bryant, and he showed some stuff last year. I'm comfortable with him in the game, too. Got a few ball handling concerns. But overall, I'm comfortable with him. The guy that just anybody that really appreciates running backs, any of us, Mikhail Wilbon drives you. It drives you nuts that he doesn't play more. There's probably reasons for it.
Mm-hmm.
Attitude off the field. Something is keeping him off the field. But when he's on the field, that's where you're. And he gets those few snaps and he makes a couple wiggles and some extra yards that aren't there. You're just like, yes, that's what I want to see. That's a running back. Get him on the field. But he doesn't play a lot. So out of all of them, he to me has the most potential as a pro or as a guy to go for 1,500 yards in a season, potential wise, from the limited sample size we've seen of him. I hope he has it together. Whatever it is that's holding him off the field, whether that's his pass blocking or his practice habits or his off the field, whatever it is, I hope he gets that fixed because he's the dude that can. He's the guy that makes that running back position go from like a 7
to an 8.5, maybe.
Yeah, he can get you there, ability wise.
No, and you nailed it. Wilbon, we laid him out. I mean, you kind of know what you got with Ziggy, and that's not to be just kind of passed over or glossed over. Because
no, steady guy.
Because he's a little more than steady. I mean, We talk about this attitude you want to see with the offensive line. Well, he brings that attitude at running back because he is just a body puncher on defenses. And you look at some of the highlights he's had in his career, and that is the game he had against UCLA as a freshman. I know it was the end of his freshman year. The Illinois game they lost. The bright spot offensively was Azigbo. Getting into the end zone. Ziggy does a pretty good job of holding on to the football. And he got dinged, and it took him a while to get back. And there was probably some frustration with that injury. But I want to go to Wilbon because, and if you haven't read it, please do. Jacob Padilla, HailVarsity.com, kind of previews the running backs. And the word he uses, and it's so appropriate for Wilbon, is dynamic.
Yeah.
And that is kind of, it encompasses the ability to catch in the screen game, the ability to make a jump cut and get through. And the game that I remember most vividly about Wilbon is what he, I mean, which really only been his only game, but what he did against Northwestern. And that there was a little pep in his step because he was going home to play. Playing in Chicago or in Evanston, I should say. Let's pray that Wilbon has grown up a bit. Let's pray that Reggie's continuing to push him the right way. And I think, I mean, I trust Coach Davis and what he's doing with that running back room, because you got to check all the boxes to get in for Coach Reggie. And yeah, by now, as long as Wilbon's been in this program, man, the time is now for him to seize it. And as far as Trey Bryant goes, listen, I think he is graceful. He's a lot of fun to watch. The fumble issue is the thing that you're a little worried about. But I also see in this offense, as much as they want to throw the ball or get the backs involved in the passing game, I mean, think about that Minnesota game and what big play potential you had with such a simple check down. Tommy checked it down to Trey. Trey turned the corner. Trey got Krainak-like speed down the sideline and scored. I think that was the tying score.
Yeah. And he's got that Amir. He's cut from the same cloth as Amir when it comes to work ethic. You know, so like,
it's high praise, Krainak.
Well, when it comes to work ethic, I'm not saying when it comes to productivity.
I'm saying the work ethic take, though. It's high praise.
Well, but it's true. I mean, Brian gets after it. Yep. There's no question about that. You hope that rubs off on the most talented player in the backfield, which is Mikael Wilbon.
Right, and we'll see how it shakes out. But Wilbon has so much upside. We'll see if spring 2017 is it for him. Hour 2 coming up. More spring thoughts. Brandon Vogel next on Hail Varsity Radio.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Krainak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back to it, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Krainak, TJ Heading, busy second hour, more rapid fire. I think we're going to run out of time to do all of Nebraska football spring 2017, so we'll stick to the offense for today's show. We'll get you ready for the defense next Saturday as spring gets underway. About 30 minutes away, a little less than, from the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp will join us. You heard the rewind a little less than an hour ago with Pat Casey, head coach at Oregon State. Well, welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Brandon Vogel, his usual spot with us to get hour two kicked off. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. We've been doing this rapid fire back and forth on the offense, and so far so good. We've got through the O-line, we've got through tight ends, and we got through some running backs, so we'll start there with you, my friend. And first and foremost, of the running back room, let's continue this on. What back are you most anxious to see in this spring?
Probably Trey Bryant.
I mean, okay.
I kind of look at him as the leader going in terms of just the ability. Your first down back, the guy you put out there when you need to have basically everything available to you. You know, it's probably close between him and a Zigbo. And then, kind of like everybody else, Wilbon has shown just enough to kind of be that guy where you want to see more from him. You also have a question of like how much more is coming. When you look at the room as it's sort of situated right now, you're looking for that home run threat, and Wilbon probably has this skill set that most lends itself to it. We just haven't seen it consistently enough.
Yeah, do you think it happens? I mean, is it a maturity thing? Is it an off the field thing? Is it a he doesn't pass block thing? Because you nailed it. Like, you look at those three backs and you compare them all, he's probably got the most ability.
Probably, in terms of just pure running backness, for lack of a better term. And I do think sort of probably a little bit of pass blocking, that's always a key. When a guy kind of is not finding the field at running back and you can't figure out why, that's kind of always the place to start. So, you know, another spring under his belt, another year in the program, yeah, he probably should get a little bit better with that. If Nebraska doesn't find sort of that consistent explosive play threat in the running back room, I think you could be looking at even more of sort of the jet sweep, that sort of approach. When you look at some of those guys who might be man in the slot, that could be an option too.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, do you see a shift in philosophy? If you find one dude that is developed into a do-it-all, can catch it, can pass block, can run it outside and inside, do you foresee Nebraska sticking with the air quote hot back? Or is it going to be continuous personnel groupings? So you're bringing guys off the field after they've ripped off some nice runs based on personnel grouping. That happened last year. That happened in year one, where it's more pro style, where, okay, here's our third down package. You know what I'm saying? Do you think Nebraska shifts if they can find kind of the jack of all?
Well, I don't even know if it would be totally a shift. I mean, I feel like Newby was kind of close to that last year. They got specialized, but a lot of times he kind of came out when he needed a quick break, and then he was back in there. But you look at James Rogers. You know, he comes up a lot when Mike Riley talks. That guy carried the ball a ton. So if they have that person, I don't think there's any hesitation from them to sort of be like, well, this is our three down back, and he's going to play as much as he can play. So do they have that guy now? I don't know, but I guess we'll start finding out a little bit more in a week.
Are we dumb to expect that Nebraska's offense significantly improves and maybe looks the best that it's looked, God, since what, Taylor's junior year? You just look at it. I expect the running game to be better. I expect the passing game to be a lot better. I expect the quarterback play to be better. Expect the offensive line to be better. I mean, it's really tight end is kind of the only overall question mark. Should we expect that? Should we expect Nebraska to be in upper half in the Big Ten offense this year?
I think that's fair. I don't know if that, for me, I don't know if that qualifies as significantly better. Like, I expect them to be a little bit better. I expect it to look more efficient. And a big part of it, I mean, for me, where I start with any sort of assumed offensive improvement, I just start with a more efficient passing game, a passing game that connects more often. I talked about this with Schmitty and TJ a little bit yesterday, but Nebraska only completed half its passes last year. That's not going to be the case this coming season with whoever plays quarterback. I don't think. I would be shocked if that were the case. So how do things look if you can do that? If you can take the easy completions, if you can make the open throws, you know, the throws that your offense is designed to get open, basically, to put defenders in conflict and do that. How do things look then? How does that help the running game? Those are all the unanswered questions, but I think you can bank on that part of it at least. Nebraska should be, I don't know if they'll be up around 60, but I think that's kind of where you start from. When you look at what these types of quarterbacks have done in the past in Riley's offense, and sort of, well, you know, don't have a ton of experience to go on other than what Tanner Lee did at Tulane, but I think that's a realistic goal.
Vogues, you put a number of stories together when it came to detailing production and performance, and 20 and a half points a game. Am I right with that number? That's what they averaged in Big Ten play offensively?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, that is, man, that's three.
That's bad offense.
That's three.
Bad.
That's three scores, and praying to God your defense holds them to three and not seven. All right, if you get seven to nine possessions a game, depending on the snaps you run and turnovers and field position and all that stuff, 20 and a half, that's a major ask for your defense. So and spring will help kind of sift through all this, but I mean, don't you think your offense needs, in today's day and age, needs to be putting up 31 to 35, period?
Yeah, you absolutely do. If you want to be a division and then conference title contender, you have to. Most seasons, the average points scored across all college football is like 28. So that's where you start. That's the average of team number one all the way down to 128. So for Nebraska to be at less than 21 in conference play, now that number probably comes down by a point or two across college football, just when the games get a little bit tougher. But still, that's a significant drop-off. And, you know, we've linked to it on Hale Varsity a couple of times, but Bill Connolly at Football Study Hall, when he was doing his returning production rankings, along with that comes sort of, okay, well, what happens to the scoring offense? And based on how much Nebraska has to replace, his system was projecting 6 points fewer per game, which can't happen. If Nebraska's averaging 14 points a game, then they may not win more than four games. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's sort of the correlation when you look at how much Nebraska has to replace.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You know, it's funny. I totally expect the passing game to be more efficient too, but there's a bit of an asterisk there because – I guess should we be more concerned about receiver when you look at how Nebraska's lost? You know, they lost three really dependable guys, four if you include Seathan Carter, as passing targets. You got Morgan coming back, and that's kind of – he's sort of the only known commodity.
Yeah. I think – look, I expect Tanner Lee to win this job. Expect it to be a good race during the spring. I think Patrick O'Brien has taken some strides to make it pretty interesting there. But a lot of, I mean, I think how accurate your quarterback can be, not to belabor that point, but can really help you there. So if the ball is on guys, if you're taking the second and third option, as long as those guys can catch the football, they're going to be open. You know that. So you sort of start with Morgan. You have the Mornay Pearsonell. And then I kind of immediately move to J.D. Spielman, who I think this is a big spring for him. He has a chance to sort of solidify himself in that slot position after having, you know, making it a tough decision whether or not he was going to redshirt or play last year. Those are kind of your big three. And then you look towards, you know, or Gabe Ron or people like that, Brian Reimers, who are other good options. Like, I don't come in too worried about Nebraska at receiver. If there's a question there, it's sort of who's that big play threat. That is a little bit tough to identify right now, but I don't think you have to do it right now.
But for as much as we like, we all love DPE for what he did as a freshman, but his production at receiver, you know, it's been kind of hit and miss. Do you think it's more of a product of just him playing behind, you know, Westerkamp and
it's quarterback Moore it's and, quarterback play. I think that's 1,000% it. I'm going to jump in. I think it's quarterback play when you look at his production.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, and so when you factor in that he was sort of that second line, he's probably not Nebraska's primary target very often, and we know that Nebraska didn't get off its primary target, probably as much as Mike Riley or Danny Langsdorf would prefer. So that's another way that he could be a little bit more in the mix. And also just, I think you have to factor in still coming back from the injury. I mean, you could see it, especially early last season, that the confidence just wasn't totally there. It was close. Maybe it was like 90%. But a little extra time could help him with that too.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, I want to spend 2 seconds longer on wideout and then get into offensive line. First, for you, what is a ceiling for you for Stan? I mean, we've seen him against major opponents early in his career, and I'm thinking the Miami game on the road, the overtime game, where guy couldn't be guarded. Okay, and it was major catches on third and O Street. Okay, and then even against Indiana this year. I mean, when they've gone to him, he's come up huge. And then because of how great Ohio State was, they kind of clamped down on him, and you didn't see much from Stan towards the end of last year. Okay, can Stanley be a guy that gets all conference consideration? Because I think we all love his talent.
Yeah, I think he can be. I think he has NFL potential. To me, he's if things are going well and Nebraska has some other options sort of step up, Stanley's probably a 50-55 catch guy, which is your primary receiver. Now the thing that'll be different this year, of course, is everyone sort of knows and will look to him as the guy from day one next fall. So that'll be a little bit different. But we've seen him make a ton of tough catches. I feel like you could fairly qualify him as a technician in terms of how he goes about, you know, just playing that position. So those are all things that I think indicate he'll be able to sort of take on that extra attention he's going to get from opposing defenses next year. All conference, I'd be surprised if he kind of climbed up there right away this year. But by the time he's a senior, I definitely think he goes into that season as probably a preseason first team All Big Ten type guy.
I mean, he's got that talent. Go ahead, Krennic. Sorry.
Yeah. Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Skipping over to offensive line, I probably feel best about this offensive line coming into a year. I probably feel better about this group than maybe I have about any group, maybe over the past decade. Where do you sit on that?
It's going to be a really interesting competition, and I think it seemed a little bit sort of maddening at the time when Nebraska made the decision to redshirt those three freshmen, and then just got waylaid by an absurd amount of injuries up front and sort of stuck with it. So for me, I think that boosts things a little bit this spring. It's kind of like, okay, well, They felt strongly enough about it then, even when they really could have used at least one of those guys. So let's see what they can do. And it kind of matches up, I think, with what you know is coming back for Nebraska. So left side, you can, in my opinion, feel pretty good about. You got Gates and Foster, so set it and forget it for the most part. Three positions to the right of that, though. Well, center is obviously open, and Raritan's probably, I expect him to win that job. Farmer has enough experience, but I think with everything we heard about, Bo Wilson has the potential to come in and really challenge for that. And then tackle, you've got really three guys, I think, who could be in the mix. You have Neville, Conrad came on like freight train towards the end of last year, and then you've got Farniok, who's probably Nebraska's left tackle going forward once Gates is out of there, but could start over on that side. So there's a lot of competition there, especially among those three spots. That's something I don't think we've, or at least I haven't felt, Nebraska's had to that degree in quite a while.
I mean, you got to kind of go back to, I mean, just look at your quantity at tackle, but you got to kind of go back, don't you, to A-Rod, Searles, and Qualley with your tackle options. And this is, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago. To if someone goes down or gets dinged, you've got a competent body or backup. I mean, that's something that I'm pretty excited about for you. You figure out who wins the right tackle spot. And Gates was on one leg a lot of last year. Not that you want him off the field, but if he can't go or he needs to rest and get healthy, Think about having, you know, four tackles to, I mean, obviously there's a drop-off because Gates is pretty awesome, but just that ability on top of the options you have at guard and then guys at center. I mean, that's what decimated Nebraska a year ago, was having to go with guys that maybe weren't as talented, but damn it, they were trustworthy and they knew the offense, so you threw them in there. And I'm talking about Utter and Whitaker and Hahn stepping up and playing a ton of snaps when guys were hurt. Look at this depth you potentially have. I mean, it comes down to development and gelling and getting good. But, man, Vogue, you got to be pretty fired up. I mean, Babcock right now is high-fiving because, he loves the O-line. And right now, Nebraska fans got to look at this line, like Kranak was saying, is really tons of options, man. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who you settle on and then how many snaps, if any, the backups can get in-game or if they're ready to step in when injuries happen.
Yeah, that's sort of a key question for me as well. If the competition is as good as I think it has the potential to be this spring on the offensive line, you have the chance to really develop that depth. So say, you know, Conrad wins the right tackle job narrowly over Neville and Farniak. So how many snaps then do Farniak and Neville get? We've seen, you know, in the past, Nebraska, at least under Kavanaugh, hasn't done that a whole lot. I wonder if that changes now, because it seems like, you know, you almost have to try and get those guys a little bit of a run, especially the younger guys. And we didn't mention any of the sort of sophomores who are out there too. not writing off any of those guys. It's a little bit, I think, alarming that, given how thin Nebraska got on the offensive line, you didn't see those guys a whole lot. But that's sort of back in the past. Spring brings a new chance to kind of get back in the race.
Well, and that's, you know, what's funny about that too is just, I know what you're saying. Like, where's Barnett? Where's Decker? Where's Gaylord? But I mean, it's not so long ago that you wouldn't expect to see a freshman or sophomore play a lot on the offensive line. You wouldn't rely on those kind of guys. Like, generally speaking, of all the positions, you rely on upperclassmen on the O-line.
Yeah, and I think that's changing a little bit across college football. I mean, you've already seen it happen at the skill positions, and it's always been a little bit more true there than on the offensive line. But college football overall, at least to me, I haven't looked at, you know, any in-depth numbers, feels like it's getting younger. Like, you've got to find guys, or you've got to have a system where young guys can play major snaps for you. You start looking down the rosters of the past three or four national champions now. Well, basically go back, so you get Florida State,
yes,
Alabama, Clemson. Those are young teams for the most part. I mean, this Alabama team was young in some key spots. So it's just kind of where the game's at.
Well, Vogue, you nailed it. Florida State was that team. I mean, the Jameis team, and then some of the teams after Jameis. They were so young. We're talking redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore on the offensive line. Clemson, couple of key cogs, specifically at one of the tackle spots this year. We're talking redshirt freshmen. So that is a trend you're seeing in college football with the young pups that have a lot of hype coming in, getting those snaps and getting that chance. Brandon Vogel with his Vogues. Real quick, what's coming up this weekend on HailVarsity.com?
Well, we've got Nebraska basketball, of course, tomorrow. Recruiting is always ongoing, so message boards are usually there's usually at least a couple updates there with new offers going out or things we're hearing on the recruiting trail. We're continuing to work through our sort of what you guys are doing today, our position previews. We've got a couple up. Have one more, I think, go up this weekend, and then finish them off going into next week ahead of the start of things Saturday.
Can't wait for it. Vogues, keep up the great work. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, guys. Take care.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Good stuff from him. We'll dive into some more spring thoughts with the Iron Horse, Gary Schopp, shortly. Want to remind you about Sauter Heyman. Listen, it is a great time this weekend to find your way to Sauter Heyman. Go talk to Rick. Valentine's Day is done. Maybe a birthday or anniversary is coming up in your family. and you need to take care of that lovely wife of yours. And One Carat Diamonds, listen, they're an incredible option, but they can be a reality with Sauter Heyman and your friends down at 12th and O in Lincoln or at South Point in Lincoln. Sauter Heyman, select One Carat Diamonds, just $100 a month. That's it, $100. What do you spend $100 on a month? A lot of things. Why not spend it on her and find that One Carat Diamond that Rick can show you, and she will love it. See stores for details. One Carat Diamond, $100 a month. Limited time offer with approved credit. If you're out west, Grand Island has a Sauter Heyman location for you as well. SauterHeyman.com. YourBestRing.com can log on and find out more about that One Carat Diamond for only $100 a month. A quick timeout. Gary Sharp up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
Thanks for spending time this Saturday morning. Hope you're doing all right. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning. How you doing? You thawing out?
Good morning.
You thawing out okay?
Yes. Welcome back to winter. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not happy. But Nebraska baseball in the desert, or surprise, against Oregon State. We'll spend some time on Husker baseball, get your thoughts on some spring football, too. But a topic that's been pretty dominant this week has been Tim Miles. I want to start there, Sharpie, and kind of get your reaction to the atmosphere this week. And I know things didn't go well in East Lansing Thursday night for Nebraska, but a chance to finish at 500. Have you seen progress from this team this year?
You know what? I've seen progress individually. I think there's no doubt you can look at every guy up the roster from the beginning of the year to now and say you've seen progress. Have you seen progress as a team? Bits and pieces. I think this is very much a team this year that has trouble dealing with success, and they're more of a game by game. But definitely individuals, I think, have improved. It's been a strange year. You know, what a difference Ed Morrow makes if he's in the lineup. But you can't if the whole thing around Tim Miles, and I've never thought that he was in trouble.
Hey, thank you.
You can't have the stuff that went on earlier in the week and then lose to Michigan State and people go, well, he's in trouble. Because you're not basing it off one game. You're basing it off a whole picture on where you want to go. And I don't know that we've ever really heard, whether it be from the athletic director or the basketball coach, the expectations, like hard expectations on where Nebraska basketball should be. We've kind of talked around it. But I think Tim Miles knows what he's up against. There's definitely more athleticism in the program. I think they've made some strides this year. But you come back for next year, and there's no doubt that we're having this discussion a year from now. Nebraska has to be showing up in all these different mock brackets. I mean, there's just next year cannot be nothing but an NCAA year with the amount of talent you have coming back.
And that should happen, right? I mean, you look at going into next year. That's a realistic expectation.
No doubt with the roster they have now, you're going to have to find somebody to pick up the scoring punch of Ty Webster. But you've recruited like a Big Ten school for the last couple of years. You've had a nice influx of talent. You've went out and you've gone onto the free agency market and got some transfers. So the NCAA berth should be definitely on the docket for next year. Now, the Big Ten will be much better next year because it's really young this year, and you've seen it just kind of up in the air. But Big Ten basketball will be back next year, and you're seeing the bottom of the Big Ten where Nebraska is residing with the Penn States of the world and the Iowas, is that it's going to be a lot better. I mean, Penn State and Iowa have a bright future. You could say Nebraska, with their youth and the way they've developed, they have a bright future. So next year the Big Ten will be tougher, but you expect Nebraska to be able to compete and be right up there. I mean, there's no reason. We've talked about this for a long time. There's no reason that Nebraska basketball every year shouldn't be at least gunning for that 7 or 8 spot, which traditionally in the Big Ten will get you into the NCAA tournament.
Gary Sharp is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we're going to switch gears to Nebraska football. Spring practice starts a week from today. And we've kind of gone rapid fire. Mark and I have just different position groups kind of maintaining the offensive side of the ball this week. We'll talk defense next week. But let's go offensive line. Give me two names you're most interested in seeing this spring. Two spots on that O-line.
Center, definitely.
Yep.
John Reardon or Michael Decker, who's going to win that job. Then I think also the tackle spot opposite Nick Gates. Who's going to fill in there? Because it, you know, is David Neville going to be back? Is he, you know, is he? We're going to have a different version of David Neville. So I think those are two spots that I'm definitely looking at. And I also think another guy. I'm looking at Jalen Barnett. You've been in the program for a while. There was a lot expected of you. Let's see where you're at this spring. See if you can get on the field. But center is really where it starts. I think that's going to be a fun little battle between John Reardon and Michael Decker.
Hey, hindsight, Gary, the way that Mike Riley and company have gone about transitioning this program into their style of offense, they essentially took 2 years off, put training wheels on the offense they want to run for the past 2 years, as opposed to just throwing in their system. And then now this year, we'll finally see basically what they've wanted to run the whole time. Hindsight, do you think that was the right approach, the approach that they took, or would you have rather have seen them install that offense fully sooner?
Well, I think they did a little bit, but I don't have a problem with what they've done the last 2 years. I think they adapted their offense to their personnel, and now they've got their personnel, so there's no more excuses, and you can go full gun with what you want. So I don't have a problem the last 2 years. I think it's, you know, what's if you get... Just think about this. If you get quarterback play that is just able to play pitch and catch, you know, just to play catch, Nebraska's offense will change a lot. Wide receivers will look a lot better. Running backs out of the backfield will look a lot better. I mean, I don't need Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien making big boy throws 25 yards down the field all the time. Just play the simple pitch and catch where you can complete a little pass and let the wide receiver or the running back take off. I think that'll change the dynamics of this offense and get the completion percentage up. You know, if Nebraska can just complete 60% of their passes, look how much that's going to change.
Sharpie, that's the point. I mean, the offense, this system, there are throws to be made, there are completions to be had, and there's always somebody open, it seems like. You know?
Well, you know, if you look at, I think all three of us have had the opportunity to sit up high in Memorial Stadium in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
If you look at the route trees that Danny Langsdorf designs, there are a lot of times wide receivers are running wide open. You know, and if you think, okay, they're still going to be running wide open with the way you design your packages, and then all you got to do is hit them. Play simple catch. You know, just get it into the hands of the wide receivers and let them go. And I think that's the thing you're going to see in the spring. You know, I want to see just able to complete a simple little pass so that the offense doesn't bog down. So you complete another pass instead of one out of every three. And I think that's where you'll see Danny Langsdorf open up his playbook a little bit more. I think you'll see him a lot more comfortable because he has a quarterback now that he knows that they're on the same page with their lingo and what they're able to do. And I think it'll change the dynamics a lot of how Nebraska runs out of the quarterback position. And you'll see, hey, wide receivers, I mean, all of a sudden you might see wide receivers, their career at Nebraska take off because they're able to catch the football maybe on the fly or whatever and make those yards that they, you know, weren't necessarily making in the past. That's why a couple guys to watch, you know, when spring ball opens up next week, Stanley Morgan and Des Moines Personnel. I think people get enamored with all the wide receivers, the young guys that are on campus. We sometimes forget about those two, who could be poised for a big year, especially Stanley Morgan.
Outside of that, you know, you're going to have, considering that Nebraska is going to be throwing it a lot, it's one of those things where you're like, well, you know, Javon McQuitty and Keyshawn and, you know, they're going to have to be, and Tyjon Lindsey, they're going to have to be ready to play right now. But do you think they will? You know what I mean? Or do you think it'll be kind of that core of Spielman, DPE, Stanley Morgan, and then like Reimers and Ron and folks like that? Or do you think those three freshmen will actually be pressed into action?
I think those three freshmen will get a chance to play. You know, Javon McQuitty, is a guy that I could see having a really good start to his career. I like a lot of his game. And then you don't recruit a kid like Tyjon Lindsey to have him redshirt. He's a guy that needs to step in and be on the field right away. My only concern about the wide receiver group is there's a lot of them that look the same.
Yeah, you know, who's that, right? A lot of small guys.
Yeah, who's that guy that's going to be the burner down the field? Does Nebraska have that? Do they have the Brandon Riley? Do they have the Alonzo Moore, a guy that they're going to go long with? Most of these guys look like good slot wide receivers that, you know, you get them on a short little completion and say, hey, take off, make a move, make somebody miss, get us big yardage. Who's going to fill the role of a guy that if you have to throw it down the field 25 yards, he's going to outrun the defense and go up and catch it?
Sharpie, let's go to quarterback here. And what's the biggest challenge facing Patrick O'Brien this year?
I think the next step in his development. You know, he benefited a lot from sitting out a year. And it's tough to make a tough to talk about Patrick O'Brien because we got a small glimpse of him when he was still learning how to be a college quarterback. He was jumped right into the fray last year during spring, and so everybody made their decisions on him. I think he's a guy that just needs to show consistency, that he can make the throws, that he can throw into a tight window. Don't count him out. I know Tanner Lee will be the one that we all talk about, but I wouldn't be surprised if Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien has a really good spring. He's a student of the game. I think his arm strength has improved. Now it's all about his decision-making. And if his decision-making is on par, I think you're going to see a spirited quarterback battle, and that only benefits Nebraska as a whole. If you have two guys that are on level with each other, that are battling for that job, that make everybody around them better. That's why I keep saying this spring will be one of the most intriguing springs we've had in a long, long time because of all the new faces, the new dynamics. And it's go time for Nebraska in 2017 when you look at their schedule and what's ahead of them and the way they want to recruit and put the program, you know, into forward motion.
All right, Gary, we got to check ourselves, man, because I'm not just putting this on you. I do the same thing. Every spring is the most intriguing spring that Nebraska.
But he's right this year.
There's going to be we've had two quarterbacks basically start, 87 games in the last 4, 5, 6 years. Now you're going to have two entirely new faces. Quarterback battles, regardless of what program they're in the spring, they draw a lot of attention. I think it's even more this year because not only the quarterback battle, everybody's looking at the offensive line. You kind of have an open spot at running back. Then you have a defense that is transitioning to the 3-4, and you've got so many young guys that nobody has seen, they've only heard about, that now get a chance in spring. We've talked about this before, it's almost like 2017 is a refresh.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Riley is 2 years into his era at Nebraska, but now this is almost like it's an entirely new football team, that it's like starting over, but now this is the Mike Riley team. This is the guys that he recruited. This is the style he wants. He's made changes on his staff. Now it's go time in 2017. So, yeah, you could say that every spring it's intriguing because we do that in Nebraska. But I think even more this year because there's so many new dynamics for Nebraska that people haven't seen that they'll get to see in the spring.
Okay, wait, we just got to make sure, because I agree, next year we can't say that. we cannot say this is the actual one. All right. This is the actual intriguing spring.
I think in the last couple of years I've maybe only used it once because last spring was kind of boring. Let's be honest.
Real boring.
Last spring was really kind of boring.
Okay. I thought it was one of the most intriguing ones that we've seen. In
That's years. Enough. That's enough. Sharpie, to wrap real quick. How do the Huskers? Do you think they bounce back today against Oregon State on the mound?
It's tough to say. I think they're running into this is they're playing against, especially Oregon State. Oregon State's the best team in the Pac-12.
Yep.
That's kind of a little buzzsaw. I think it's still a little early before you start, figuring out Nebraska's team. My concern is the top guys of the lineup, the three big bats that were supposed to help you out right out of the gate, has struggled a bit, and Nebraska's still finding their way. yesterday, you know, you saw some battle when they fell behind against Utah. Today is an important day because as you move along before you get to the Big Ten, you know, you only have so many opportunities to grab a nice little resume win. Well, today would be one of those days to get out of this little snide. It's the last thing you want to do to go to Arizona and wear the collar. But I think Darren Erstad knows this. He's probably a little bit disappointed, but let's be honest. The last 2 days, they have gotten beat because they got beat. I mean, it wasn't something they did. They got their butts kicked by Oregon State because Oregon State was better, took advantage of runners in scoring position. And then last night, you know, Utah fought back. I mean, it was a good baseball game. Just you come up on the wrong side of things, but it's way too early to start figuring out this team. I think you wait about a month or so. But you got to get the Jake Meyers and the Ben Millers of the world going at the plate.
Absolutely. Sharpie, you have a great weekend, man. Always appreciate you. Thanks for a few minutes.
Thanks, guys. When we talk next week, it'll be spring football. How about that?
Thank God.
Most That'll intriguing spring ever. 100 years.
Yes, until 2018.
That's right. That's right. Sharpie, be good, man. Thanks. All right. Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity.
He's right. I mean, it is the most. It is. I mean, this, but this really is.
This so, really, really is.
But We'll think of
more adjectives because TJ may murder us here if we don't get to break. A quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time on a Saturday. Now, if you missed any part of the spring football discussion this morning, you can log on hailvarsity.com. Podcast will be up shortly. You can go to iTunes, you can go to the ESPN 1480 app, and if you search around there, all the podcasts are loaded up Monday through Saturday for your listening pleasure on your timeline. So do that. Take us with you. If you're going to the gym, if you're scooping the drive, if you're chasing the dog, whatever, you can find Hail Varsity podcast on iTunes, on HailVarsity.com, or on the ESPN 1480 app. Kranack, things will thaw out here later this week. Spring ball will be underway in 1 week, and we'll have the press conference midweek this upcoming week as to the practice schedule and some thoughts. Let's talk recruiting. We didn't even get to this today. Not that it's forgotten or not important, but just...
Well, it's the most intriguing spring ever, and that distracted us.
Well, we had other focuses. But just the recruiting department, and Nebraska wants to add to that per Riley with the Portland Tribune and Kerry Eggers. I love the idea. Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. Bama's staff under Saban is about 20. You have a player. I shouldn't even say player. I should say you have a student or you have a member of Bama assigned to a coach. You have a couple people assigned to a coach. And it's a great team effort, and very few prospects get by when you have that many eyes on. You know, give me a number, and I've kind of asked around this week with that number. Give me a number that you would put together staff-wise. You already have some folks there, obviously on staff, social media, player personnel, folks doing that. But from a total number, do you think a total staff of 8 to 10 would be out of line, or do you invest in that high a number?
Doing just recruiting?
Yes.
What does Nebraska have now? It's a little confusing with the titles.
Two? I mean, three? Well, I think you've got some of the support staff, and of course, Devaney heads it up. So
yeah, it kind of feels like we have
two to four now, as is.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Whatever the rules will allow you.
Well, you can do whatever the hell you want right? with support staff.
That's the number I want to put on it. Like, whatever the rules will allow you, max that out. If there are no rules, then make it 30 people.
So you want a big red army of recruiting assistants.
Yeah. I mean, and Riley mentioned wanting to have somebody doing social media recruiting 24/7 in that interview with the Portland Tribune. So, and I don't think that would be one person, obviously. Look, I mean, you can't put enough into it. You just flat out can't put enough into it. So you got Billy Devaney, who's a part of it. You got
and these are kind of like your non-traditional. These are not coaches. Like, take the coaches aside. Billy Devaney, Kenny Wilhite does quite a bit with high school relations. Todd McShane is in there. Those are probably the main ones, right? And you still have to replace Ryan Gunderson, who's left. I mean, do whatever it takes. 50 of them. 60. Let's bring in 70 guys to do recruiting. Why not?
I think you have 40 people per state.
What?
40, yeah. You have assigned 40 to California. I'm kidding. I just thought I'd ask. Kranak, have yourself a good weekend, dude. Thanks for your time today, bud.
Too, man. It's the most intriguing spring ever starting next Saturday.
Kranak's printing the t-shirt right now. Thanks to TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Back at you next time on Hail Varsity. Thanks.